Harper Audio presents A Crown Imperiled by Raymond E. Feist, performed by John Maher. This one's for dirty, rotten scoundrels. You know who you are. Prologue. Awakenings. Mighty dragons raced through the skies. Hurricane force wind struck his face, yet the rider sat confidently astride the neck of his scaled ebony mount, his to command by will alone. Arcane arts kept him firmly in place, and exultation energized every fiber of his being as the dragon host rode out in search of conquest. Never in the long history of the Valheru had the entire dragon host risen united. The entire host, save one. Dark emotions turned quickly to rage. The white and gold rider was absent, Ashen Shugar, the only dissenter within the host. But the absence of the father-brother did not signify. The Valheru had answered his call, and Draken Korin had taken his rightful place as leader of the dragon host. He watched mad energies race through the skies above the dragon riders, flashing colors of blinding brilliance as energy vortexes and tears in the fabric of space and time exploded into spectrums invisible to mortal eyes, but perfectly clear to his Valheru vision. His vision shifted, memories fading as others resurfaced. The cavern, once the Lord of the Tiger's seat of power, was dark. That didn't concern him, since his vision was far sharper than any mortal's, but he missed the warmth of torches and... where were his servants? He tried to lift his left arm, and pain tore through his shoulder. He had not felt pain like this since... Images cascaded through his mind as he relived the memories of ages past. He felt his first breath and heard a contemptuous mother curse him as her servants carried him away. Elven slaves brought him newborn to a clearing in the warm, damp forest, and without any tenderness left him on top of a large rock, to live or die by his own strength. He remembered extending his infant senses, a primitive assessment of danger and threat. He felt no sense of fear, only compelling need. His instincts emerged at need, drawing upon ancestral memories shared since the dawn of creation. The forest was deep, and he sensed predators on every side. The most dangerous, now receding, were of his own race, Valheru. A pack of golden jackals sniffed the air, seeking the source of the tempting hint of birthing blood, their heads up and their senses alert. They had left their den as the sun set in the west to hunt. The child felt them move closer, the scent of his birth summoning his death. He reached out and sent a blast of hate and anger at the troop. The jackals stopped and cringed. Then, ears flattened, they continued to skulk towards the architect of the mental assault, hunger outweighing their fear. Another presence, nearby. He reached out and instantly recognized the massive predator. But this time, instead of danger, he discovered contentment there, a warm, nurturing feeling that felt alien, but also compelling. He reached out once more and formed a simple command. Come. The tigress leapt to her feet, ignoring the plaintive mewing of her cubs, and bounded down the hill towards the tiny thing that coerced her. The jackals approached the exposed infant cautiously, knowing that it possessed dangerous abilities, yet driven by the need to feast. Then another scent arrived on the wind, and they halted. The massive tiger charged into the clearing next to the infant and roared a challenge. The baby might be an unknown threat, but the tiger was all too familiar to the pack hunters and to be avoided at all costs. Turning tail, the jackals ran, opting to survive and hunt elsewhere. The tigress lowered her head with a snarl, but the thought emanating from the infant was clear. Protect me. A mortal child would have perished had it been seized and lifted in the tiger's mouth, but he was not a mortal infant. He was Valheru, and his small body was far from delicate. The great cat returned to her den and deposited the infant next to her own pair of cubs, barely 3 days old and still mewing with their eyes closed. She lay down on her side to let them nurse and watched as the man-thing reached out and gripped her fur. Somehow, it managed to pull itself to her teat, where it began to nurse alongside her young. His eyes opened and he struggled to breathe. I'm dying, he whispered to no one. "You are being reborn," came a distant voice. He felt feverish, and his entire body was in agony. He could no longer feel the separate pain of his wound, for he was consumed by a throbbing, burning ache. Every particle of him hovered at the brink of death, for only at the edge could the transformation be completed. He tried to move, and couldn't. Just opening his eyes was a trial. He let them close. Death lingered seconds away, beckoning him with promises of relief and rest.